إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this, our second in the series of lectures related to Ramadan, from Majalis Shahr Ramadan of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, the topic that we want to talk about is the wisdom, or the wisdom, some of the wisdoms behind the fast of Ramadan. Yani some of the reasons, purposes, objectives, or benefits for which the fast of Ramadan has been legislated. Yani what are some of the reasons from what we found in the Quran and in the Sunnah that Allah has legislated fasting in Ramadan? Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. There's no doubt that most people, or many people, if not most people who fast are very, very conscious of the fact that they are not eating and drinking. People are feeling this reality that I am not eating, I am not drinking, I am not enjoying the things that I normally enjoy. People are conscious of this. Everybody is aware of that. But why has Allah legislated this? Why has Allah commanded and He ordered, made obligatory upon the believers, at least in this blessed month of Ramadan, that we should abstain from the things that He has made lawful for us during these hours from dawn until sunset? Why has Allah done so? Definitely, we cannot expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom and His perfect knowledge and justice and compassion and mercy, that He would command the people to do something that is difficult for them, that is disliked, distasteful, it's not pleasant. Many people feel very uncomfortable about fasting, to such an extent that some Muslims don't fast in Ramadan, with or without an excuse. That's a fact. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never command the people to do something that they're not able to do. And He wouldn't command us to do something as a punishment or a torture without some benefit. Rather, there's some reason why He has ordered us to fast. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, has mentioned a number of points. From amongst the things that he mentioned, there are 8 specific points that he mentioned concerning the hikmah, or the hikam, the points of wisdom that can be understood in the legislation or the obligation, the legislation of the obligation of fasting in this month of Ramadan. So we want to discuss this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, some of those matters. The Shaykh, he begins his talk praising Allah, alhamdulillah, mudabbir al-layali wal-ayyam, musarrif al-shuhur wal-a'wam, al-malik al-kuddus al-salam, al-mutafarrid bil-azamati wal-baqai wal-dawam, al-mutanazzih an al-naqais wa mushabahatil anam, يرى ما في الداخل العروق وبواتن العظام يسمع خفي الصوت ولطيف الكلام إله رَحِيمٌ كَثِيرُ الْإِنْعَامِ وَرَبٌّ قَدِيرٌ شَدِيدُ الْإِنْتِقَامِ قَدَّرَ الْأُمُورِ فَأَجْرَاهَا عَلَى أَحْسَنِ نِظَامِ. نعم نعم. وشرع الشرائع فأحكمها أيها إحكام بقدرته تحب الرياح ويسير الغمام بحكمته ورحمته تتعاقب الليالي والأيام. The praise belongs to Allah, the one who controls the nights and the days, and who changes or causes to change the months and the years. He is the King, the Holy, the one who is free from any imperfection, the one who we declare to be singled out for greatness and perpetuity and continual existence. Yani there's no end. He is the one who we declare to be free from any defect or any comparison or similarity to the human beings. He sees what is inside of the veins and what is inside of the bones. And he hears that which is khafi as-saut, yani which is not heard, and he is barely heard, or maybe not heard, and the finest of speech. He is Ilahun Rahimun Kathir al-In'am, subhanallah. Yani he is the one, the merciful one, who deserves to be worshipped, and who is plentiful in giving of his bounties. He is a Rabb, a Lord that is able, powerful, stern in retribution. He is the one who has decreed all affairs, and then he causes them to occur in the best way. And he is the one who has legislated the laws, and he has legislated them perfectly by his power and ability. The winds blow and the clouds travel, and by his wisdom and his mercy, the nights and the days rotate or revolve, yani one after another. Then the Shaykh said, أَحْمَدُهُ عَلَى جَلِيلَ الصِّفَاتِ وَجَمِيلَ الْعِنْعَامِ أَشْكُرُهُ شُكْرَ مَنْ طَلَبَ الْمَزِيدِ وَرَامِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ الذي لا تحيط به العقول والأوهام وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أفضل الأنام صلى الله عليه وعلى صاحبه أبي بكر السابق إلى الإسلام وعلى عمر الذي إذا رآه الشيطان هام وعلى عثمان الذي جهز بماله جيش العسرة والأقام وعلى علي البحر الخضم الأسد الدرغام وعلى سائر أهل آله وأصحابه والتابعين لهم بإحسان على الدوام وسلم تسليما. That I praise him for his noble characteristics, yani sifat, qualities or descriptions, and the beauty of his giving of his favors and bounties. And I thank him with the gratitude of the one who requests an increase in what they desire. And I bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, the one whom neither the intellects nor the imagination of the creatures can encompass. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping servant and his messenger. And he's the best of the human beings. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala sahibihi Abi Bakrin as-sabiq ila al-Islam. And may the salat of Allah be upon him and upon his companion. Yani the one who Allah, in the words of the Quran, has called his companion. The one human being that Allah described as his companion, that is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first of those to accept Islam. And upon Umar, the one who, if shaitan saw him, shaitan will run away, will be concerned, will be worried. And upon Uthman, the one who with his personal wealth has prepared the army in the time of difficulty. And Ali, who is the vast ocean of knowledge and the courageous lion. And upon the rest of his family, the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the rest of his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and the tabi'een who have followed them in excellence and in righteousness continuously. May Allah's peace and protection and safety and security be upon them. After this opening, the Shaykh, he begins with introductory comments concerning the legislation of Allah, the laws that Allah has legislated, and worship in general before proceeding to fasting. He says, O worshippers of Allah, or you can say slaves of Allah, but we prefer to say ibad Allah, worshippers of Allah. May Allah have mercy upon you. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who owns the right, the perfect and complete right to legislate. And He is the one who possesses the perfect and complete wisdom in what He has legislated and in what He has created. So He is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, في خلقه, in what He has created, وفي شرعه, and in what He has legislated. Yani the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seen in what He has created and in the laws that He has legislated. He did not create His servants لعباً, yani just for play or amusement. And He didn't leave them, His servants, after He created them Suddan, yani aimlessly without any purpose. And He didn't legislate them for them laws, abathan, yani in vain or uselessly. Rather, He has created them for amrun azim, a great, tremendous matter. And He has prepared them for a great and significant affair. And He has made clear for them the straight path. And He has legislated for them legislations and laws for the purpose of increasing them through it in their iman and perfecting for them through these laws and legislations their worship. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He has legislated, He has given us laws with the purpose or the intention or the objective of the believer following the, who follows those laws will be increased in iman and they will be able to perfect their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَا مِنْ عِبَادَةٍ شَرَعَ اللَّهُ لِعِبَادِهِ إِلَّا لِحِكْمَةٍ بَالِغَةٍ. And there is no act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for His servants except that it contains a far-reaching wisdom. Those who know it, know it. And those who do not know it, do not know it. Meaning that some of the people know it and some of the people don't. عَلِمَهَا مَنْ عَلِمَهَا وَجَاهِلَهَا مَنْ جَاهِلَهَا. And our ignorance of the wisdom of anything, of the legislated acts of worship that Allah has legislated, if we don't know about the wisdom of it, this is not a proof that there is no wisdom in it. Rather, it is a proof of our inability and our short-sightedness in being able to attain or to comprehend the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Isra, 85th ayat, وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنْ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that you have not been given of knowledge except a little. And the Shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ شَرْعَ اللَّهِ الْإِبَادَاتِ وَنَظَّمَ الْمُعَامَلَاتِ ابْتِلَانًا وَامْتِحَانًا لِعِبَادِهِ لِيَتَبَيَّنَ بِذَلِكَ مَنْ كَانَ عَابِدًا لِمَوْلَاهُ مِنْ مَنْ كَانَ عَابِدًا لِهَوَاهُ. So Allah has legislated all acts of worship, and He has organized the mu'amalat, yani the social or yani the interactions, yani between people, the ways, the means, the system of interaction between people, social and mutual relations between the people. He has organized, He has legislated the ibadat, and He has organized the social intercourse and interrelations between the people. Ibtilan, ibtilaan, wamtihanan, as a test for His servants to make clear through these matters, the one who is a worshipper of his Lord, to distinguish him from the one who is a worshipper of his hawa, his desires. Yani some of the people, they have taken their hawa as a god besides Allah. They follow whatever their desires command them with. And other people, they follow and obey what Allah has commanded them with. So whoever follows what Allah has legislated, then that person will become clear and distinct as a worshipper of Allah. And whoever follows their desires, it will become clear that that person is a worshipper of their desires. So whoever accepts these legislations and these laws regulating social interactions of the people with an open heart and with a nafs mutma'inna, yani with a soul that is at rest, at peace, at tranquil, that accepts, that is at peace with what Allah has legislated, then this one is the worshipper of his Lord. He is pleased with the sharia of his Lord, and he gives precedence to obedience to his Lord over obedience to the desires of his lower self. While on the other hand, whoever does not accept these acts of worship and who does not follow and comply with the system of social interaction and mutual relations between the people that Allah has legislated, who does not follow what Allah has commanded except that which is pleasing to his desires, or that which agrees with what he intends, then this person is a worshipper of his desires. This person is one who is dissatisfied with the sharia of Allah, who has turned away from obedience to his Lord, and who has made his desires that which should be followed, instead of making his desires follow what Allah has legislated. And this person only intends that the sharia of Allah follow his desires, in spite of the fact of his limited knowledge and limited wisdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23, ayah 71. نعم. وَلَوْ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ بَلْ أَتَيْنَاهُمْ بِذِكْرِهِمْ فَهُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. That if the truth were to comply with and follow their desires, the heavens and the earth and those who are in them would all be corrupted and spoiled. But rather we have come to them, we have brought to them their reminder, but they turn away from their reminder. And the Shaykh says, before again finally, before going into the specific wisdoms of fasting, he says, from the wisdom of Allah, the general wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He has made al-ibadat, yani the acts of worship, mutanawwi'ah. He has made them to vary, different types of acts of worship, in order to make clear those who accept and those who are pleased from those who do not. In order to test and to rectify those who believe, to distinguish them from those who disbelieve. And Allah has made various types of worship. Alaykum as-salam. So from amongst the people are those who are pleased with a particular type of worship, and they adhere to it. But they are displeased with another type of worship, so they fall short in it. Yani, some of the people are pleased with fasting, but they're not pleased with giving their money. Some of the people are pleased to make salat. They make it 5 times a day, regularly, on time, even in the masjid, maybe in jama'ah. But they're not down with the fasting from dawn until sunset. But whatever Allah has legislated, every act of worship that He has legislated is obligatory upon us. Whatever He has commanded us with. That which we like and that which we may not like. So Allah has made from the acts of worship that He has legislated, some of them which are connected to the acts of the body, the actions of the body, like salat. And some of them are connected to spending one's wealth, which we love so much, which is beloved to the nafs, like zakat. And some acts of worship He has legislated which are connected to actions of the body and spending of the wealth, like hajj and jihad. And some acts of worship Allah has legislated which require a person to restrain their self from that which they love and that which they desire, like siyam. So whenever the abd, the worshipper, the servant of Allah, whenever the worshipper fulfills all of these different types of worship and completes them in the way that is required without disliking them or without neglecting any of them, even though they might be tired and weary from doing so, from acting upon all of these things, from spending from that which they love, and refraining from that which they desire, what the lower self desires. Whoever does this, ta'atan li rabbihi, in obedience to his Lord, wa imtithalan li amrihi, in compliance with what Allah has commanded, wa ridhan bi shar'ihi, being pleased with what Allah has legislated, then this is an indication of the perfection of this person's worship and the completion of this person's compliance. And it is an indication of this person's love of his Lord and his exaltation of his Lord. فَتَحَقَّقَ فِيهِ وَصْفُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And in this case, the description of عُبُودِيَّة, of being a real worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, will be achieved and realized for such a person. Yani, the one who fulfills all of the acts of worship that Allah has legislated and does them in the way that Allah has required them to be done without disliking them or falling short in or neglecting them, even though it may wear you out. Rather, the person continues to do what Allah has legislated and what Allah has commanded in spending that which they love and holding back from that which they desire merely out of obedience to Allah and in compliance with what He has commanded, and being pleased with what He has legislated, then this is an indication of the kamal, the perfection of this person's ubudiyyah, their servitude and their worship of Allah, and the completion of their inqiyad, yani the perfection of their compliance with what Allah has commanded, and their love of their Lord, and their exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this is clear to us, this being said, then know for sure that fasting has many hikam, yani many purposes, objectives, wisdoms for which it was legislated. And these wisdoms for which fasting has been legislated necessitate that fasting be an obligatory duty of Islam and a rukn from the arkan of Islam, the pillars of Islam. The first of the eight, the Shaykh says, from the hikam of siyam, أنه عبادة لله تعالى يتقرب العبد فيها إلى ربه بترك محبوباته ومشتهياته من طعام والشراب والنكاح. That from the wisdoms of fasting is that fasting is an ibadah, an act of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the worshipper, through it, the worshipper gets near to their Lord by giving up and abandoning that which they love and that which they desire. The things that they love and the things that they desire of food and drink and marital relations with their spouse. So it becomes clear through this that the person who wants to get near to their Lord by giving up that which they love and that which they desire, it becomes clear the truthfulness of their iman and the perfection of their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the strength of their love of Allah and their hope for that which He has with Him, yani of reward in the next life. So when the believer knows that the pleasure of Allah in fasting is by abandoning their desires which by nature they are in love with. Allah created the human being with the nature to love to eat and to drink and to have relations with their spouse. Allah created the human being by nature like this. This is not something deviant like we find in this society where the people have deviated from that which is natural and they love to do that which is unnatural, that which is corrupt and filthy. Rather, these are the things that are natural that Allah created the human being upon. Loving to eat and drink and have relations with one spouse. So the human being, when it is known by the believer that the pleasure of Allah in fasting is in abandoning the shahawat, yani the desires that you have been created with the nature to love, when the person knows that and they give preference to the pleasure of their Lord over their desires, and they give up those things that they have a great, strong craving and desire for, only because it is something that is pleasant and it is a comfort to the soul to abandon these things for the pleasure of Allah. Meaning the believer finds comfort and finds pleasure in abandoning these things that naturally by nature they love, they find pleasure in abandoning for the sake of Allah. And for this reason, many of the believers, if they have been beat, if they have been imprisoned, in order to force them to break their fast one day in Ramadan without an excuse, that they didn't have any legal excuse to break their fast, they would not do so. They would rather be punished, they would rather be beaten, they would rather be imprisoned than to break the fast of Ramadan that Allah has made obligatory upon them. And so this matter of the believer giving up that which they love in order to earn the pleasure of Allah is from the great wisdoms, from the greatest and most far-reaching of the wisdoms of fasting that Allah has legislated. And the second, he says, from the hikam of siyam, أَنَّهُ سَبَبٌ لِلتَّقْوَى. Yani, that from the wisdoms of fasting, the purpose or objective or benefits of fasting, is that it is a cause or a reason or a means to achieve a taqwa. It is a cause or a reason or a means to achieve a taqwa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Second Surah, Ayah 183. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed or made obligatory upon you as it has been prescribed for those before you, yani the nations before you, that you might achieve a taqwa, that you will be of the people who have taqwa, who have consciousness of Allah, piety, righteousness. For indeed, the fasting person, yani how is fasting a means to achieve a taqwa? Indeed, the fasting person is ma'amurun bi-fi'l ta'at wa-jtinab al-ma'asi. Yani the fasting person is commanded to do the acts of obedience to Allah and to avoid, to stay far removed from acts of disobedience to Allah. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that reported by Al-Bukhari, من لم يدع قول الزور ولا عمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. That whoever doesn't give up قول الزور, يعني false speech, which includes lying and backbiting and slander and false testimony and any kind of falsehood, false speech, ولا عمل به, and acting upon it, يعني false behavior, false actions, والجهل, and ignorant behavior. Whoever doesn't give up these things, yani these acts of disobedience, acts of sin, whoever doesn't give up these things, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ, Allah has no need فِي أَنْ يَدْعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ, Allah has no need for that person to give up food and drink. The food and drink that Allah has made lawful. Why is the person given of that which Allah has made lawful, and they're not given of that which Allah has prohibited, Allah has made unlawful? So the Shaykh, he is saying here that the fasting person has been commanded to do the acts of obedience and to avoid the acts of disobedience, as understood from this hadith, that there is no need to give up eating and drinking if the person is not going to give up false speech and false actions and ignorant behavior. Allah has no need for us to give up food and drink. Otherwise, there is no real benefit from the fast, unless it makes the person conscious of Allah to the extent that they will strive harder to do the acts of obedience and to avoid acts of disobedience. And this is the achievement of a taqwa. So if the fasting person is enveloped, yani is covered with his consciousness of fasting, then every time that person thinks about committing a sin, they will remember that they are fasting and they will refrain from it. Yani the person that's fasting is thinking, they are conscious every moment that they are not eating and drinking. Especially if they are in a society where everybody is eating and drinking. So you are constantly thinking, you are aware that you are not eating and drinking. So you are conscious that you are fasting for the sake of Allah, that you are abstaining from that which is lawful. So if a thought came to your mind to do that which is unlawful, you will be reminded that why am I abstaining from the lawful? Except in order to strengthen me and enable me to abstain more so from that which is unlawful. So this would enable the person to abstain and to refrain and to restrict yourself and to abandon sinful behavior. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded the fasting person to say to someone who insults him or abuses him, to say, Inni imra'un sa'imun, that I am a fasting person. To make that person aware that the fasting person has been commanded to abstain from insulting and abusive speech and behavior, and to remind oneself that you are fasting, and this will enable the person to abstain from returning or replying or responding in like to one who insults or abuses you with abusive speech. And the third one, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ حِكَمْ السِّيَامْ أَنَّ الْقَلْبْ يَتَخَلَّ لِلْفِكْرِ وَالذِّكْرِ لِأَنَّ تَنَاوُلَ الشَّهَوَاتِ يَسْتَوْجِبْ الْغَفْلَ. That from the wisdoms of fasting is that the heart is free from everything else. Yani is occupied only with the fikr, yani reflection upon the greatness of Allah and the creation of Allah, and the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, the praise and glorification of Allah. Yani that the heart, this is the condition of the heart, that it is occupied with reflection upon the bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness and His glory. And the remembrance that is due to Allah in praising and glorifying Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِعُلِ الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in the creation of the heavens and the earth, there are signs for those who understand, the people of intelligence, the people who have intellect, who can think. Those who يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ, who remember Allah, who make dhikr of Allah, قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Yani those who, when they are standing and when they are sitting and when they are lying down on their sides, in every situation and circumstance, at all times, they are remembering Allah. They are praising and glorifying Allah. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they reflect upon the creation of the heavens and the earth. What Allah has created, the greatness of Allah's creation, and what He has put in the creation, and the bounties and favors that Allah has given, whether of the worldly things or of the bounties and favors, the blessings that Allah has given us, in Islam. So these are two of the great characteristics of the believing people. The reflection on Allah's greatness and His glory and His bounties and His favors and the remembrance of Allah in praising and glorifying Him. And this is the condition of the heart of the fasting person. Because the person who is engaged in their desires, in their shahawat, this necessitates that the person becomes unmindful, that they are distracted with those things and they become unmindful of the greater things, the remembrance of Allah and the greatness of Allah's favors and His bounties and His creation. And sometimes even the engaging in the shahawat, the worldly desires, also sometimes cause the hardening of the heart and the blindness of the person from the acceptance of the truth. And we see this around us everywhere. The people who are most occupied in the pleasures of the world are the people who are less likely to remember Allah or to accept the truth when it comes to them. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ has guided the people to reduce their intake of food and drink. As he ﷺ has said, مَا مَلَأَ ابْنِ آدَمْ وِعَاً شَرًّا مِنْ بَطْنٍ بِحَسْبِ ابْنِ آدَمْ لُقَيْمَاتٌ يُقِمْنَا صُلْبَهُ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا مَحَالَةَ فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِشِرَابِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِنَفْسِهِ لِنَفَسِهِ رواه أحمد والنسائي وابن ماجه. Now the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no vessel that is worse or more evil to fill than the stomach. And it is sufficient for the human being, the son of Adam, that they just eat a few morsels of food to keep their back straight, yani enough just to keep them going. But if a person is not able to do that, to confine themselves or to restrict themselves to the bare minimum of food and drink, that which is sufficient, but they must eat more if it's a necessity, then the Prophet ﷺ said, then make it only 1/3 for food, yani filling the stomach, 1/3 for food, and 1/3 for drink, and 1/3 for breathing, to be able to breathe. Reported by Ahmed and Nasai and Ibn Majah. And likewise, similarly, a similar meaning is found in the hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim from Hanzala radiallahu anhu. And he was one of the scribes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who used to write the revelation. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day, Nafaqa Hanzala, that Hanzala has fallen into hypocrisy. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa ma dhaka? And what is that? What do you mean by this? What do you mean you have fallen into hypocrisy? And hypocrisy, we understand, I'm saying, that we understand that the hypocrite is the person who profess to believe, while in reality they don't believe. But Hanzala is not really yani saying this, but he is saying he feels sometimes that there is some difference in his condition from one state or one time to another. And he feels that this is some kind of hypocrisy. So he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, nakunu indaka tudhakkiruna bin nari wal jannati hatta ka'anna ra'yu aynin fa'idha kharajna min indaka aafasna al-azwaj wal-awlad wal-dhay'at fa'nasina kathiran. To the end of the hadith. Yani he said, O Messenger of Allah, that when we are with you and you are reminding us of the hellfire and the paradise, it is as though we are seeing it with our eyes. Meaning when they are in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's talking about the hellfire and talking about the paradise. Their condition is such, it is as though they are seeing the paradise in front of them. And they are seeing the hellfire in front of them. Which means that the person is on a very, very high level of iman. If a person could see the paradise, we are reading the description of paradise in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and it affects our heart. Imagine if you could see it. So he is saying that we when we sit with you and you talk about this, it is as though we are actually seeing the paradise in front of us and the hellfire. So what kind of iman is that condition, the condition of that person in that state? He said, but then when we go out from you and we are with our families and we are engaged with our wives and our children in our worldly affairs, our business, then we forget much. Then we forget much. We forget about these things. And our condition is different. That iman is not there anymore. And this is what we know, that the truth of the matter is that iman is something that can increase and decrease. And the iman of any individual will not always remain in one condition. But rather sometimes it will get stronger and it will rise and it will become higher. And sometimes it will go down. And therefore it is incumbent upon the believer to monitor their iman and to nurture their iman and to work on their iman and do the things that strengthen and increase iman and to avoid the things that decrease and weaken iman. So he's saying, Hamzah radiallahu anhu, he's saying that when we are with you, our iman is like this, very high. But when we are with our family and our children and doing our worldly affairs, then our iman is decreasing. So he's feeling like I'm in two different people, one who is a believer and one who is not a believer. When that iman is going down. So he said, Nafaqa Hanzala. And he feels like it is some kind of hypocrisy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Shaykh doesn't mention the hadith in totality, but the meaning of the rest of the hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him that if your iman was to remain like this all the time, when you are with me, your iman would be so high that the angels will come down and shake hands with you. The angels, because you will be on the level of the angels. He said, but rather, وَلَكِنْ سَعَةً وَسَعَةً. But rather, there's a time for these things of iman and taqwa and worship of Allah. And there's a time for engaging, spending time with your wife and your children and your family and engaging in the normal worldly things. And due to that it is acceptable that a person will not be engaged in dhikr and dua 24 hours a day. But rather, a person will have a spouse. A man will have a wife and a woman will have a husband. And they will have children and they will have business. And they will have land and they will have things that they have to attend to. So when they are engaged in those things, their iman will not be the same as when they are standing in the night, praying qiyam, in the quietness, in the solitude of the privacy of their home. That iman that the person is in that condition, they will not be in that condition when they are out in the marketplace selling their halal products. It will not be the same. It will not be the same. So the Prophet ﷺ said that this is the condition of the human being, of the believer, sa'atan wa sa'atan. That there is a time for this and a time for that. And he repeated this three times. And Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, rahimahullah, he said that the nafs, when it is hungry and when it is thirsty, the human being, when they are in a state of hunger and thirst, the heart is purified and it is softened. And when they are full, when they have eaten their fill, then the heart becomes blinded. And the fourth matter that the Shaykh mentions, ومن حكمة الصيام أن الغني يعرف به قدر نعمة الله عليه بالغنى. That from the wisdoms of fasting is that the rich person, the affluent person, the person who is well-to-do, will come to know the magnitude of the bounty of Allah upon them in making them rich, in giving them affluence. From fasting, the wealthy, well-to-do person will come to know the magnitude of the bounty of Allah upon them in what He has given them. They will come to know that from fasting. They will come to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with food and drink and marital relations. While he has denied many of the people these things, many people don't have food and drink, don't have a spouse, don't have a family, don't have children, don't have the things that are lawful in this world that many of us are enjoying every day. But through fasting, a person comes to know that this is a tremendous favor of Allah that Allah has given to you that many other people are deprived of. So that person will praise Allah for these blessings and they will be thankful to Allah for the ease and facility that Allah has given them. And this will also be a reminder to them of their poor brother or sister who perhaps is going to sleep at night, starving or hungry. And this should cause the well-to-do person to give bountifully, plentifully in sadaqah, so that the one who is less fortunate may clothe their nakedness, and so that they will be able to remove their hunger. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani for this reason, meaning the condition of the person when they are fasting, when they see what it feels like to be hungry and to be thirsty for a few hours, when normally that person might be eating morning, noon and night, first thing in the morning eating, later in the morning eating, lunchtime eating, in between eating, nighttime eating, bedtime snacks. Some people are eating all day and night, and they don't know what it's like to be hungry. So in the fast, the wealthy, well-to-do, affluent person gets to feel what it's like to be hungry. And this is number one, it is a way for a person to know the magnitude of the bounty of Allah upon them, and also it should be a reminder of the people who are less fortunate. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, كان أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل عليه السلام فيدارسه القرآن. This is why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who was the most charitable of people all the time, but in Ramadan he was more charitable. And that was at the time when he used to meet with Jibreel عليه السلام, and he used to يعني recite back and forth with him the Qur'an. So he was affected by his state of fasting and he was also affected by his reading of the Qur'an. And this should cause a person to give in charity to those who are needy. Number five, وَمِنْ حِكَمَ الصِّيَامِ التَّمَرُّنِ على ضبط النفس والسيطرة عليها والقوة على الإمساك بزمامها حتى يتمكن من التحكم فيها ويقودها إلى ما فيها خيرها وسعادتها فإن النفس أمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي. That from the wisdoms of fasting is that a person gets training in self-control, controlling the nafs, and taking authority, full authority, over the lower self. And strength, they gain strength. The person who is fasting gains strength in taking control of the reins of their self until they are able to take full control and guide the self, the soul, the lower self, to that which is good for it, and that which is its means to success and happiness. Indeed, the nafs, the lower self of the human being, commands it with evil, except the one upon whom is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the lower self of the human being commands it with evil to look at this and listen to that and do something that you are not supposed to do and go somewhere that you are not supposed to be and so on. This is what the lower desires, the lower self command the human being with, except whom Allah has mercy upon. So if a person allows their soul, their self, free reign, it will cause that person to fall into destruction. But if you take control over the matter and take command over your soul, then you will be able to direct it, to guide it to the higher levels and to the most noble objectives and goals. Through fasting, a person gains self-discipline and control over their self so that they can do the things that are necessary in order to reach the higher levels and to achieve the greater goals and to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number six, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ حِكَمَ السِّيَامِ كَسْرُ النَّفْسِ وَالْحَدُّ مِنْ كِبْرِيَائِهَا حَتَّى تَخْضَعَ لِلْحَقِّ وَتَلِينُ لِلْخَلْقِ. That also from the wisdom of fasting is the breaking down of the soul, of the self. يعني, meaning humbling it, humbling the self and restricting it from being proud and arrogant, such that the person will surrender, will become humble and surrender to the truth and be easy with the people. Yani, the person who is humble will accept the truth when it is brought to them, and they will be kind and easy with the people. They will not treat the people harshly out of pride and arrogance. For indeed, filling the stomach and fulfilling the thirst and having direct contact with the women, yani marital relations between men and women, each of these things, and here the Shaykh mentions specifically eating and drinking and marital relations, and these are the primary things that are prohibited on the fasting person during the hours of fasting. Each of these things cause a person to be proud, to be arrogant, to be insolent, to be vain, to feel high and above others, and to be high above the truth. And that is because the nafs, when it is in need of these things, when it is in need of food and drink and marital relations, it will be busied in trying to achieve these things. When the person is hungry and thirsty and in need of relations, they will be busy. The nafs will be busy in trying to get these things. But when it achieves its goal, what it desires, it will be in a state of blameworthy joy. Yani, a type of joy or happiness that's blameworthy, beyond what is expected. And it will cause the person to be vain. And it will be a cause of the person's destruction, falling into that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمَعْصُومْ مَنْ عَصَمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And the only one who is protected and preserved from this is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected and preserved. And number seven, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ حِكَمَ السِّيَامِ أَنَّ مَجَارِيَ الدَّمْ فَضِيقُ بِسَبَبِ الْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ فَفَضِيقُ مَجَارِ الشَّيْطَانِ مِنَ الْبَدَنِ. That from the wisdoms of fasting is that the blood vessels, yani the passages that the blood goes through the body through, will be tightened and straightened and narrowed through hunger and thirst. And therefore, the passages through which shaitan travels through the body of the human being will also be tightened. Can anybody help me with this? Just stop it some kind of way. Thank you. Zakallahu khair. Yani, hunger and thirst causes the blood vessels to become tightened and straightened and narrowed. And likewise, the blood vessels, the passageways through which the shaitan travels through the body of the human being, will also be tightened and narrowed and straightened. For indeed, الشيطان يجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم. Indeed, it is true that shaitan travels through the body of the human being through the passageways of the blood, as it has been authentically reported in the Sahihain, al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this way, through fasting, the whisperings of shaitan subside, and the severity of the desires and emotions of anger are also reduced and subside. And it is for this reason that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحصن للفرج ومن لم يستطيع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. متفق عليه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning the effect of fasting in reducing and lessening the shahawat of the human being, particularly sexual desires. He said, O ma'ashar al-shabab, yani, O assembly of youth, yani the people, the young people especially, but not only the young people. Whoever from amongst you has the ability, yani, to marry, then they must marry. فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. This is the command. It's obligatory for the one who is able to marry, to fulfill the marital obligations, then it's obligatory to marry. For indeed, it is a means of lowering the gaze and protecting the private parts from engaging in illegal sexual activities. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ. But whoever is not able to marry, don't have the means to marry, then it is incumbent, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالسَّوْمِ. Then it is incumbent upon that person to fast. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Because this fasting for that person will be the means of lessening or reducing the sexual urge. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the Shaykh says, so the Prophet ﷺ has made fasting the means of lessening sexual desires and weakening the sexual desires. And finally, the Shaykh says, and this is what we close with, وَمِنْ حِكَمَ الصِّيَامِ مَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْفَوَائِدِ الصِّحِّيَّةِ. Yani, also from the wisdom of fasting is that which may be achieved as a result of fasting in terms of, yani, health benefits. فوائد الصحية, yani some benefits to a person's health, which may be achieved through lessening or reducing the food intake, and by giving rest to the digestive system for a certain period of time, so that the moisture of the body and the waste materials that are in the body that cause harm to the body, so that they will be reduced. And there are other benefits to the health as well. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, فَمَا عَظَمُ حِكْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَأَبْلَغَهَا وَمَا أَنْفَى شَرَائِعُهُ لِلْخَلْقِ وَأَصْلَحَهَا. So, yani, oh how great is the wisdom of Allah, and how far-reaching it is, and how beneficial is the Sharia of Allah, and its effect in reforming and rectifying the affairs of the created being. And the Shaykh closes, اللهم فقهنا في دينك وألهمنا معرفة أسرار شريعتك وأصلح لنا شؤون ديننا ودنيانا واغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولجميع المسلمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين. May Allah grant us understanding of His deen and inspire us with knowledge of the secrets of His Sharia. And may He correct and rectify our affairs, our religious affairs and our worldly affairs. And may He forgive us and our parents and all of the Muslims. By His mercy, the One who is most merciful. And may the salat and salam of Allah be upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and his companions, all of them. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So this is what the Shaykh said concerning this matter. And inshallah, we have a lot of time, but we'll just take a few questions inshallah. We will not go until Maghrib. Now, if the questions inshallah should be related to what we discussed inshallah. Now.
As far as an unmarried Muslim man.
Naam.
Okay. He's saving as far as his wealth. Now, should he take the money that he saves and make the Hajj first or get married first?
The person has not made Hajj before?
Never.
Allahu A'lam. I mean, Allahu A'lam. I'm not the person that should be answering that kind of question. But some scholars have said that what is best is, yani, what is the person is most in need of? Yani, if the person is really in need of getting married, meaning that their condition, their situation is such that if they didn't get married, they may fall into committing sin, then they should marry. Otherwise, if that's not their condition, then the obligation of Hajj should take precedence. And Allah knows best. But I mean, that's something that, you know, the scholars, they might say different things. That is something that some scholars have said it like this, that it depends on the condition of the person. Allah knows best. Now. Now. No question? Okay, I have some questions. I would like, we mentioned 8 points. The Shaykh mentioned 8 points of wisdom, benefits, objectives or purpose of fasting. Inshallah, I would like each person to give me one of them. Now. Fasting makes a rich person
experience
what the poor person is going through. Makes them conscious now of the bounty and the favors of Allah upon them, and also conscious of the condition of other people who are not fortunate as they are. Now, which hopefully should cause that person to act better towards the people who are less fortunate. Abu Tariq had his name hand first. Now, health benefits. Give the digestive system some rest. Much needed rest. Naam. It needs some rest, you know. I mean, it can go on like this 24 hours a day for about 60 or 70 years maybe. But you'd be killing yourself. Naam, the brother over here had his hand up. Do you still have, you want to, Akhi? Okay, you give the same one. Who's that, Abdul Wadud? MashaAllah, hiding out there. Okay, naam. Somebody over here? Naam. Sadiq? Musa? I don't know which one of you had your hand up first. Go. Salih. Huh? Naam. It is a means of achieving a taqwa. Can somebody tell me how is it a means of achieving taqwa? How? In what way? Naam.
Helps a person to control himself.
Naam.
Followed by reminding him that I left something lawful.
Naam.
I should control myself from the falsehood speech and action.
Naam. It gives a person control over themselves and reminds them when they're fasting, abstaining from that which is lawful, then how much more so must they abstain from that which is unlawful. Now, and this is taqwa. Taqwa is to obey the commands of Allah and to avoid His prohibitions. So fasting helps a person to be more conscious and gives them the strength and ability to avoid the prohibitions. Now, and the ability to fulfill the commands of Allah. Now, oh okay, it's connected to this one. Now. Naam, for the unmarried person, it helps the person, and even for the married person. Helps them to lower their gaze and guard their private parts. Naam. Gives the person the a greater strength and ability over their sexual desires and otherwise also. Now. Now. Naam, it fasting, yani hunger and thirst cause the veins, the blood vessels to be straightened, to be shrinking, to reduce, to become small and tighten. And this tightens the passageway of shaitan. This is the passageway through which shaitan travels through the body of the human being. So this gives a person an escape from the whispering of shaitan and the inspiration of shaitan and the motivations from shaitan. Naam. What else? Naam. Naam, a great means of humbling yourself. Fasting humbles the person. If a person, all of this of course, means the person who is fasting, in the proper way of fasting, as we discussed last week, the proper fast, that a person is fasting properly. Number one, they are fasting sincerely for the sake of Allah, that they have niyyah, yani bil ikhlas, that they are fasting for the sake of Allah. They are fasting according to the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are observing the matters of the fast, not just abstaining from food and drink, but also abstaining from all things that are unlawful and so on. In this case, this type of fast humbles a person. And it enables a person to be receptive to the truth when it's brought to them. Some people, you bring them the truth, and even though they know it's the truth, but out of pride and arrogance, they will reject the truth. So this fast humbles a person and enables them to be receptive to accepting the truth when it comes to them, and to, instead of being treating people harshly, like the proud and arrogant, instead of being belligerent and insolent with the people, it humbles the person, so it enables them to treat people well, the way that the Muslim, act the way that a Muslim should act. Now. Naam. Naam, fasting helps to be able to focus on Allah and remembrance of Allah. To remember Allah and to praise and glorify Allah and to reflect upon the creation of Allah and the bounties of Allah and the favors of Allah. This is also because the fasting, it allows the heart and the mind and the soul to focus on the things that a person should be focusing upon, because it breaks down the power and the strength of the nafs that cause the person to be distracted with other things, the worldly things. When a person is distracted with those things, they will not be remembering Allah. And they will not be reflecting upon the bounties of Allah. And this is one of the great means of increase of iman. These two things. Al-fiqr, yani tafkir, reflecting upon the bounties of Allah and His favors, and the greatness of Allah and His names and His sifat. And al-dhikr, remembering Allah, praising Allah, glorifying Allah with that which He is due. Naam. And I don't know if there's something left that we forgot. Seems like we mentioned more than eight, but maybe some of them are combined. Naam. 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 Sayyid. Muhim jiddan. Naam. That this is fasting is training in self-control and discipline, taking control of yourself so that you will be able to do the things that are good for you, that are in your interests. When the person doesn't have control over their nafs, they will do things that they know are destructive, that they know will have harmful consequences. But because they're out of control, they do it anyway. We see in the Kafir society especially, where people don't have morals, where they don't have guidance, where they don't have any self-control, where they're out of control. We see robbing, killing, raping, all of this because people are out of control. But the Muslim who fasts gains control over their self. So they know when they have an inclination to do something that is evil, that is wrong, that is disobedience to Allah, that will bring harm to their self in this world or in the next life. then they would take control and they would restrain themselves and they would be able to avoid those things that would be the means of their destruction. And this is one of the greatest benefits of fasting, that a person takes control over their self. And I remember, and I may have mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. I remember visiting with some military, American military personnel in the Middle East, in the Gulf. And I remember some of them saying, how can you, it was during Ramadan, and they said, how can you abstain from eating and drinking from sunrise to sunset? I said, no, from dawn to sunset. Not from sunrise, from dawn to sunset. They said, how can a person do that? How can a person not eat all day long? That's impossible. These are military personnel who are supposed to be trained people. And they can't abstain from eating for one day. And they were amazed, how can a person do such a thing? And Muslims are doing like this all the time. Not just in Ramadan, throughout the year. We are able to abstain from eating, drinking. Why? Because we have been trained, alaykum salam, to take control of ourselves. We are in control. We are not following our desires. Rather, our desires are following the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, now. Naam. And also the Shaykh mentioned, and what we mentioned last week, as he's saying now that Allah promised a reward for the person who is fasting, that there are two occasions of happiness for the fasting person. And the first occasion of happiness is in the fitrihi, at the time of breaking the fast. And the second occasion, yani daily, and the second occasion of happiness is عند لقاء ربه, at the time of meeting his Lord, yani on yawm al-qiyamah. That the believer is looking forward to this. Looking forward, number one, you know, to the joy and the happiness at the time of breaking the fast. The greatest joy at the time of breaking the fast, as the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, the greatest joy at the time of breaking the fast for the believer is the joy of knowing that Allah has granted you success to complete that day of fasting. Naam. Yani, at the time of breaking the fast, every one of us should reflect on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His mercy and His favor, has given us the ability to complete a day of fasting. This great act of worship that all the people in the earth are in need of. They're in need of worshiping Allah by this fast. They are in need of the reward that comes from this fast, but they are not getting it, except the people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who fasts, at the time of breaking the fast, you have completed that fast, you should be happy, very, very happy, that Allah has given you this success. And secondly, inshallah, we'll also be happy that we get to eat something nice, drink something or whatever, alhamdulillah. That's secondary. And the greatest joy is on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the person will receive the reward from their Lord. Now, person who's fasting, somebody said that someone is not really fasting, they're just abstaining from eating and drinking. So what should a person do who's fasting, but they have inclinations to... Yeah, they have some inclination to follow some lower desires, or they become angry. And they want to legitimize their fast, meaning they want to avoid those things. Well, first, having an inclination to some desire that's not permissible during the fasting period does not invalidate the fast. Okay, we should be clear about that. That does not invalidate the fast. We don't know that there's any proof that a person who became angry while he's fasting, his fast is invalid. But certainly it affects the perfection of the fast. Okay, the degree of perfection of the fast is affected by the behavior of the person during the fast. Naam, that's a fact. So, if a person wants the full reward of their fast, and they want to reach the highest level that they are capable of fasting, then they want to avoid those things that might reduce the reward of fasting or the perfection of the fast. So how will they do that? Well, of course, everything starts with, you know, pure intention. That the person, that the greatest thing that a person can do in any act of worship, the greatest thing that they can do, first and foremost, is that they begin and they maintain to the end of their act of worship ikhlas in what they are doing. Because whoever is doing something purely for the sake of Allah alone expects that Allah will help them. The second thing, and these are the two conditions for the for active worship to be accepted, that is that the person should make sure that they are fasting in compliance with the sunnah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if a person does this, they expect that their active worship will be accepted, that this fast will be accepted. If they are doing it, if they try to start, begin and maintain throughout the fast or whatever active worship it is, sincerity to Allah, examine yourself and monitor yourself all the time to see if they got off track, to get back on track, okay, in their ikhlas, and secondly in their compliance with the sunnah, then that person is entitled, inshallah, to ask Allah's help in perfecting their fast. And we know that whoever asks Allah, Allah will answer them. And we know that we cannot be successful in doing any act of worship or any good, whatever it may be, except with the help from Allah. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that verily you alone do we worship and you alone we seek help and assistance from. And some of the scholars said that the meaning of these two statements in this ayat, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, is that a person is declaring that I want to worship you alone, but I cannot do it except that I seek help from you alone. Because Allah is the only one who can give success. And that's why one of the prophets said in the Quran, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, that I cannot have any success except by help from Allah. So that the person who makes their fast, or whatever act of worship it is, sincerely for the sake of Allah, from the beginning until the end, and complies with the sunnah, read and study and learn to know what a fasting person should be doing and not doing, so that they comply with the sunnah, and then ask Allah's help. Allah will help. And we can't imagine that the person who is doing something sincerely for the sake of Allah, in compliance with the sunnah, and asking Allah's help, that they will not be successful. We can't imagine that. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, and this is part of the hadith, and it's not the whole of the hadith, but the part that is related, he said, احرس على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. احرس على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. That a person should be eager in seeking that which benefits them. You want to perfect your fast? Be eager in going after that perfection of the fast. Make effort to perfect it. What? Naam, tayyib. Fadl. Wasta'in billah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And seek help from Allah. Meaning after you make the effort, sincerity of intention and compliance with the sunnah, wasta'in billah. Then seek help from Allah. Wa la ta'ajiz. And don't feel helpless after that. If you have done that, don't feel that you can't do it. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if the person does what they're supposed to do and ask Allah's help to be successful in doing it, then they should never imagine that they will not be successful. Don't feel helpless. Rather, whoever Allah's help helps, then they will definitely be successful. There's no doubt about it. Inshallah, we'll stop here so we can get ready for the breakfast. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.